Nobody really want fuego. Messiah will bring fire down worse than Waco. Buy you some coffee and Lego, your Eggos, your sandwich with mayo and two slices of mayo. Sitting at home on the couch playing Halo, but the Messiah ain't playing no Eggos. Games, women in pants gonna get it. Flames, brothers keeping no commandments. Same, calling our armies a favor. Even with your NATO and soldiers with Dracos. Just tell me, how can you stop a tornado or better yet the lava from the volcano? They really can't, bro. They have to pay, bro. The most I say so. So in chase they go for all their wicked atrocities they owe. For all their wicked atrocities they owe. From San Diego to Trinidad Tobago, I'm spitting these words so all Israelites they know. Keeping commandments the only way we grow, so we can defeat the nation Galileo. Nation Galileo, get it? Cause they pale. He's bringing them hell for every bill of sale. So family, just examine yourself. When that fuego come, you don't wanna get left. Forsake your sins so you complete the test. Then you can have complete rest from all your stress. Fight to do right to your very last breath, or stay wicked and receive second death. Destruction of enemies is muy bueno. Make sure that's one of the things that you pray for. Into the kingdom, the sinners, they can't go. The sinners can't go. So we say, hasta luego, hasta luego.
Brothers really don't want fuego. Sisters really don't want fuego. Nobody really want fuego. From the one that's super dead. Fuegos really don't want fuego.
Turn it.
Fuegos really don't want fuego.
Turn it.
Nobody really want fuego.
Hey,
from the one that's super dead.
Fuego.
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 Brother, you don't want that fuego.
You don't want that fuego.
Hey.
Fuego.
Fuego.
Hey.
Sister, you don't want that fuego.
Fuego.
Nobody really.
Shalom, shalom. Welcome to the Power Hour, the Lost 144K, Native Latin and Black Biblical Topics. I am Captain Yahshua.
I am Soldier Daniel.
And I am Soldier Solomon.
All right, all right. So welcome to the show. Happy Sabbath. Shabbat shalom. This week we're going to be speaking about modern day lynchings and hate crimes. So I'll start off just, I'll read a little bit of this. If you guys want to give some commentary while I just post a few links. You go right ahead before I get into and dive into the articles that we have today. So, you know, through the week, I see the different articles and things, and, you know, sometimes I'll just read the headlines. Oh, that might be interesting. Let me bookmark that. You know, I got the little news apps and stuff like that. Let me bookmark that. I might. And I'm always looking for something, like, my eyes open for, not your common stuff. Like, you know, I see all the stuff about politics that tie up the news these days. And not to say that we shouldn't pay attention to that stuff. We should know what's kind of going on and, you know, see that stuff through the spiritual lens. But, you know, I'll start looking. And it's funny, like a lot of Sabbaths, sometimes just that morning, an interesting article will come in.
Right.
So I'll wake up and I'll have it kind of as a notification on the screen. And one of those articles that we'll go today was like that. And it was basically saying, now, of course, they try to lump in the synagogue shooting, some of the other stuff that was going on, you know, the attacks against Muslims, and they'll say that, you know, they're lynchings, but of course, you know, we're gonna emphasize, you know, our people, you know, so we have what happened in El Paso. They reference in the article what happened with Dylann Roof and the Black Church, and just the whole sentiment and the vibration that's out there, and the article is pretty interesting because a lot of times I think we think of lynching and we think hanging. Right, that was kind of the worst form of it. That was synonymous with it, you know, where Edom, who the world ignorantly calls white, the white man, you know, you had all these white people that would, you know, string up, you know, our African American, if you want to say that, black, whatever's the colloquial term that's going to help you identify what that is, you know.
Right.
We tend to speak, obviously, in the tribe name, so, you know, they're stringing up Judah and stuff like that.
Right.
But some of our audience doesn't understand that. I say Judah, they don't know what we're meaning, so, you know. You'll hear me kind of quickly mention both. You know, I'll say Judah, which is the African Americans, and they would send the postcards around. I mean, the stuff is out there; you see it. And so, hanging was the worst form of it, right?
Right.
A few weeks ago, we spoke about the attacks against Mexicans and the lynchings there, and it wasn't always hangings, right? So, well, first we gotta address that distinction that lynchings aren't always hangings. And what's interesting about the article is that, and when we get to it, is that she talks about how the sentiment that was brewing before the lynchings really took off in the United States is kind of the same sentiment now. And she talks a little bit about Woodrow Wilson, which I didn't really read much about. You know, when you're a kid, you read about the presidents a lot everything.
Right.
I mean, you know, they even, I don't know if they still do it now. They used to make you try to, you had to name some of them and what number president they were.
Right,
and,
I remember that. Yeah,
so now I don't really roll with that no more. You know what I'm saying? I just kind of, whoever's in office is in office.
Right.
But she said Woodrow Wilson had a very similar, he was very similar to Trump in the same way that he empowered that white supremacist base at that time. And a lot of people credit Woodrow Wilson with kind of revitalizing the KKK during his time. So she talks about those past. So I thought it was a very interesting article, and we'll talk about it. And, you know, as the spirit moves us, obviously what the scriptures will come out for us to address as we go over these things.
So Donald Trump kind of gives them that energy to be bold.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that's what everybody, you know, because I see all these. I tell you, this political era that we live in and having Trump in office,
mm-hmm.
I've said this before, has really showed you how the people around you really feel deep down inside.
What they really think.
Yeah, yeah. He's who he is. And I've said this. I said, I love him. You know why I love him? Because God put him in office,
right?
So I love whoever the Most High put in office, right? Because he's going to put who he needs to put there to make things happen to his plan.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't draw no political lines. I'm not Democrat. I'm not Republican. I'm for God, right? And, you know, yeah, is God what would be deemed more conservative? Absolutely. But it's interesting to see what he's showed you about all the people around you.
Right.
Whether it's good, bad, or indifferent, people have, he's pulled out of people like things that probably have been long dormant.
Right.
You know,
right,
so
right.
Like I even have like my business pages for my businesses on Facebook and stuff like that. And, you know, I'll see commentary from other people. And I'm like, gosh, I don't think I want this person to be like, oh, you know, like some of the stuff that these people are saying is like crazy, you know.
Right.
I mean, and they're not straight saying, you know, derogatory terms and, you know, proverbs and bywords and stuff like that. But you see the sentiment and you see where they're leaning and the defense of the whole thing. So it's kind of crazy. It's kind of crazy.
And they are the even my people around me, like because I had a business and, you know, different people, like the ones that service my car and stuff, any Edomites, it started back when Obama was elected also.
Mm-hmm.
That's when they really started with complaining about the so-called minorities, Hispanics and blacks.
Right.
But then once Trump came into office, it was like the gates were, you know, were
right.
opened up all the way.
Political correctness.
Yeah, so it's escalated.
Has kind of shunned people from saying what they want to say.
Right, right.
So that's what I like about it, that Trump came into office, that, you know, if we had another Democrat, they'd still be quiet about their feelings.
And everybody would
right.
be polite.
Right, right.
Because that's really
right.
what it is.
Right.
Everybody's just trying to be polite over this whole thing. But like I said, it's very telling. Like, he's revealed a lot of people because they feel enabled by his rhetoric and
right.
the stuff that he
said. That's that vicariousness. When Obama was in office, they're complaining about him, but what they're really doing is complaining about, you know, they're showing their racism.
Right.
Now that Trump's in office, they're praising certain things that he stands for, but what really is behind it is their sentiment.
Right, right. And
right.
it's interesting that you say that, because the reason they didn't like Obama, because like if you were to just try to look at it objectively, and look at, you know, what his administration did, Obama I'm speaking about,
right.
in the years that he was in office, in general, not that what, because we know he didn't really hardly jack
right.
anything for our people.
Right.
But if you just look for that's why I say you got to look at, let's say you wanted to try to look at it objectively, right? We know we can't. Like,
right.
We that are repenting, yeah, we're biased. We're biased towards what God says. So
right.
we're always going to look at things through that lens, because that's the thing
right.
that keeps us safe. Right?
Right,
that's what keeps things spiritual, right?
Right?
Versus letting your own thoughts and stuff, because anything
exactly.
else is your own thoughts and stuff. So yeah, we have a little bias in how we handle things, right?
Mm-hmm.
But as far as looking at Obama, he actually wasn't a bad president as far as policies and things that he did and everything
okay.
like that.
Yeah.
So all these people had issues with him, and so like what you were saying, it was almost like the warm up. It was really they just didn't like that there was a black person
right,
in office.
Exactly, exactly.
And then when Trump came into play, now they just can actually vocalize what they're saying, you know,
right.
Straight outright. I mean, they even wasn't there somebody that even called his wife like a monkey, like or something like that?
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
Compared it to like Planet of the Apes.
Compared to an ape, right.
Yeah.
I heard this NPR thing about this piece about how that was one of the most shared They did a picture
uh-huh.
where they crossed her face with like a chimpanzee or something.
Right.
and there was a like a meme, like a derogatory meme on it, and that was the most shared thing so far as to where the analytics come up when you Google her name, that picture would show up. It would be one of the first things that showed up.
Oh, yeah?
So Google had to go in there and revamp the system so that that negative image wouldn't come up.
What's the female comedian?
But they let
comedian?
It go. They let it go for like 8 months before they actually fixed it.
What's the female comedian? They also said something about Obama's wife. I can't. She's dead now. She was very old. I can't think
of her. What, Joan Rivers?
Joan Rivers.
Yeah, she said something too?
Yeah, she said something, and they got on her about it. I can't remember exactly what it was.
Mm. Joan Rivers. I don't remember. I'm trying to think about it.
They were trying to say that that she had a penis.
Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah. They said she was a transsexual or something like that.
Yeah, transgender.
So before I get into, I'll read the definition of lynching, and then so we can understand it's not just dealing with, like I said, it's not just dealing with hangings, although that was the most popular form of it.
Uh-huh.
So it says lynching is a premeditated extrajudicial killing by a group, right? So it most often used to characterize informal public executions by a mob in order to punish an alleged transgressor, convicted transgressor, or to intimidate a group.
Uh-huh.
It can also be an extreme form of informal group social control. And it is often conducted with the display of a public spectacle for maximum intimidation.
Uh-huh.
Instances of lynchings and similar mob violence can be found in every society. All right, so it says in the United States, lynchings of African Americans became frequent in the South during the period after the Reconstruction era in the 20th century. Lynchings are common in many contemporary societies, particularly in countries of high crime rates, such as Brazil, Guatemala, and South Africa. So, you know, it's not exclusively hangings is the point that I want to get out of that as we read that. So I wanted to read this first. I'll set the tone with this, and then we'll go into the lynching. So, you know, we really didn't touch on it as it happened because I believe the reports came in of the El Paso shooting as we were in the midst of a show. And I don't like to talk about things till other things really come out, right? Because there's a lot of misinformation that flies around and all types of stuff. So now that, you know, a few weeks have passed on this, I want to go ahead and check this out. So it says, El Paso Horror spotlights long history of anti-Latino violence in the U.S. Because a lot of, you know, the article we just read doesn't reference the Latino lynchings,
right,
which we did a two-part show on, and the lynchings that were happening where we spoke about the American citizens that were of Mexican ethnicity that were actually lynched, right? And during that time period with the Mexican border wars as they framed it. And this is stuff that's underreported. So people think lynchings and they think just blacks, African Americans, not realizing that Latinos are part of it as well. And now more than ever, like you see it. Like it's the Most High is incredible how he works, right? Because he's lined it up so that, you know, you had all this media attention, and I want to say maybe starting from Michael Brown, Trayvon Martin is when all this stuff kind of really, I mean, it was always going on, but it started really getting a national spotlight. And then it shifted to Latinos, which is largely underreported. They don't speak about the Latino hate crimes, the cops killing Latinos, all that stuff like that. And there's a reason for it. So here it says, we cannot fight back against white supremacy if we don't even know the history of what has taken place. Now, we're not going to fight back against white supremacy, right? We know our rest lies in these scriptures and how we're going to roll with that. But I get what she's saying here, where she says, if you don't know the history, then how can you move forward with it? You think it's a new thing and you don't know how to react.
Right.
It takes knowing that history to know that the rise in hate crimes since Donald Trump's election to president, as well as this past week's horror, is a continuation of a long legacy of violence since before 1848. What happened in El Paso was a massacre and a hate crime. So she has an interesting statistic that she brings out here. Since Trump was elected president, hate crimes against Latinos have increased.
Mm.
Because that's what's on his mouth, really. He's not here talking about, you know, Negro this,
right,
Negro that.
Right. He
has been, since he campaigned for office, attacking Northern Kingdom.
Right. The wall and all that.
Yes. So it says, in 2018, an FBI report showed that reports of such crimes grew by 24% in 2017. The shooter who killed 20 people in an El Paso Walmart Saturday drove many hours to target a city with a population that consists of over 80% Hispanics and Latinos, mainly of Mexican background, and is a popular destination for shoppers from Mexico on the weekend. So it's very calculated as to what went on here, right? So they said he drove hours to get there because he said he did statistics, and he said, hey, 80%, I'll take the odds. I mean, he goes, yeah. Right, so he said, I'm pretty sure I'm going to be able to kill a bunch of spics, I'm sure. I'm sure he had right. A whole bunch of names, right? Right. A hate-filled screed that the shooter is claiming as his own is further proof that the killings were a hate crime against Latinos and immigrants, while tweets on the shooter's account praise President Trump for wanting to build a wall. In his statement to the nation Monday morning, Trump called on Americans to condemn racism, bigotry, and white supremacy, but did not acknowledge his own divisive or racist rhetoric. Mm-hmm. This staggering violence in El Paso comes on the heels of another shooting at the end of July when a gunman opened fire at the Garlic Festival in Gilroy, California, an agricultural community with a population that is over 60% Latino, mainly of Mexican descent. Mm-hmm. Many news media, right, because people are already forgetting about the Garlic Festival, because maybe it was three people died, and right, and you know, because it was in an area that's predominantly white, but understand that all the agricultural workers are usually Latino, right, mainly Mexican. It says they were looking for motives, and they say his motive may never be known. We know what his motive was. Despite the fact that the shooting was done by a white man who cited a white supremacist text and made a social media post about hordes of mestizos being at the festival. Right. But yet they say we don't know his motive.
Right, exactly. Right.
Right. And listen, it's all them just being crafty about it. They don't like that this stuff is in the news that way, because you know what? This gives even more credence to us galvanizing behind these scriptures with Northern and Southern Kingdom, with, you know, blacks and Hispanics, Native Americans, uniting under the banner of these scriptures, right, to bring that truth. You got something you want to bring out? I see you stirring there.
You know,
yeah, I wanted to get 1 Corinthians 2 and 13.
Okay, all right, and hold your thought.
And then Lamentations also, just to tie in with what we're talking about. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 13. So we understand that all these things are spiritual, and when you are keeping the laws of God, you start seeing things with a spiritual eye. So the narrative of whatever's going on in the news doesn't fool us. We really see what's behind it. Go ahead and read that.
You said 1 Corinthians 2, verse 13?
Yes, sir.
1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 13. Which thing also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches.
So we read the news, but we're actually reading in between the lines, and we're speaking about these things, and we're going over these things in our mind according to what God has to say about it. Read.
But which the Holy Ghost teaches.
So these are the laws of God. It's the law that was written before time, because the creator of all the nations knows everybody's spirit, and he's already laid it out for us. Read.
Comparing spiritual things with spiritual.
Spiritual. So we're comparing the spiritual thing with spiritual. Lamentations 4 and verse 18. Verse 18 is good. So this guy at the Garlic Festival, we know, we can read between the lines. We know what his target was. It was talking about mestizos and what else?
He had some white supremacist rhetoric on his website.
There you go.
Praising Trump's tweets.
All right, right.
Yeah, go ahead and read that. Lamentations 4:18.
This book of Lamentations, chapter 4, verse 18. They hunt our steps.
So there, he's a man of the field. Esau, the so-called red man or the white man, according to the Bible. Esau, the Edomites, they're a man of the field. That's what they do. Go ahead.
That we cannot go in our streets.
So we can't be out there in the open, especially we're breaking God's laws, because then we're more susceptible to God's judgment. Read.
Our end is near. Our days are fulfilled. For our end is come.
Okay, read the beginning of 19.
Our persecutors are swifter than the eagle of the heavens.
So there's many scriptures in the Bible that we can confirm through the spirit of who he's talking about. The mascot of the so-called white man, no matter what nation he rules, whether it's France, Germany, Russia, and even here in the United States, even under the Mexican flag, we have the eagle That just signifies that we're property of Spain, the Spanish Caucasians. They are swifter than the eagle. They are our persecutors, according to the scripture. They hunt our steps. So their spirit is really revealing itself to us, and that's how we know.
Yeah, stay right there. Start at 17, because as we go through all this, right, some people wonder, what's the point? Why are you quite sitting here reading an article? And, you know, I understand those that are in the process of repenting. This is good. This is good edification for you. But occasionally, we you know, that is our aim of the show, is to try to be able to present a medium where we can reach people who have yet to really understand that they still are in this day in their captivity. And remember what it says in Thessalonians, that day shall not come to that man of sin be revealed, right? That son of perdition.
Right.
And it's important that we highlight these things so that you can see that we're living in biblical prophetic times, right? So start at verse, say in Lamentations 4, start at 17, right?
All right. Lamentations 4, 17. As for us, our eyes as yet fail for our vain help.
Affirmative action, all this civil rights, all these other things. Now they've hijacked the civil rights movement and applied it to transgender and homosexuals and anything else, right? They're always trying to mix other groups in with the type of atrocities that we went through.
Mm-hmm.
Look, they shot up one synagogue. How many black churches, how many black massacres, how many Latino massacres have they done, right? I'm not saying it's right. We don't condone that type of behavior, but that's of the Lord. Life and death is in his hand, right?
Right.
But they went and they shot up the synagogue. Was it early this year? Was it last year? That synagogue in Pittsburgh or whatever it was, right?
Yeah.
And immediately they try to throw all that in. Into with us. It's like that skit with Chappelle. Like I said, it always makes me laugh in one of his stand-ups where he says, you know, I don't know if it was the transgender movement or whatever it was, the LGBTQ or the feminist movement. And, you know, he was up there and, you know, he was saying how the woman in the audience was like, you know, we hurt too. He was like, I know you do. You know, he was like, he said, I could get behind. I understand why they're trying to fight for their rights and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And that basically he was like, you know, she kept going and going. He's like, yeah, you know, I'm with you. And then she goes, we hurt the same way you hurt. And he said, oh, hold up a second now. He said, now you're taking it a step too far where you're trying to compare, you know, what you're looking for to the different things that we've been through,
right,
all
right?
The stuff that you went through has not altered your identity. It has not changed things. It has not changed you culturally. You still benefit from, you know, whatever race you are, your white supremacist expectation, you still get to do sexually what you want to do,
mm-hmm.
right? You just want to do it openly. Those things that happened to us, especially with the fear of lynchings, right? Because we read that one of the definitions of the lynching is that it was designed to instill terror in our people
mm-hmm.
as a form of social control, right? Because remember, we had the Green Book, where if you were traveling on the road and you were African American, it showed you what cities, what towns, what places you should go and not eat, and which ones were favorable to you. I mean, the mere fact that we have something like that should go show you, you know what I'm saying, the different things that we had to
Google Maps.
Right, basically, yeah. It was like, hey, you know, that was like that little book was a little guide where if you're traveling and you were black,
mm-hmm.
you knew like, hey, I can't go to this town, I can't go to this restaurant. Because you know they're gonna deal harshly with me.
The hypocrisy is that after 400 years, almost 500 for Northern Kingdom,
mm-hmm.
they can actually sit in a chair and look at you and say compare what they're going through to what we went through. That's ridiculous.
Right, right. Because
that's why it's good to bring out the history, because a lot of people don't know the history.
And that's the point that I'm getting to as I'm going to go through these same verses that you went through. I'm going to give something a little more, a different perspective on these scriptures you brought out. So read this verse again, 17.
Verse 17. As for us, our eyes as yet fail for our vain
that help. Vain help that we're seeking is what? That vain help that the United States is going to help us, that the answer is us galvanizing in these groups and marches and rallies. And listen, without the staff, I mean, because we've done some marches, but it's with the intention of bringing awareness to the scriptures and how you should live your life
right.
based on the scriptures, not just to march, and then there's no change on
right.
this stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it says, our vain help, because we will not get help from these other nations or from this country. The only one that can help us is the Most High God in Christ. Come on.
In our watching, We have watched for a nation that could not save us.
Instead of turning to our own nation, Israel, right? And I don't mean Israel the land. I don't mean Israel with the Israelis living there. I'm talking about so-called blacks, Hispanics, Native Americans, and the scattered that identify with these curses,
mm-hmm.
all right? And us galvanizing and uniting under this banner, under this standard of the scriptures. Come on.
They hunt our steps.
This nation hunts our steps. Look at this El Paso horror. Look at the sentiment. Look at the terrible, horrible things. Listen, they've always said terrible, horrible things. But like I said, under this administration, they're more emboldened.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's beautiful. That's why I love it, because I'm like, good. The truth hurts, but you need that medicine. You know what
I'm
saying?
They see how deep racism really
goes.
Yes,
because for years, people try to argue with you that it doesn't exist, it's
right,
not around,
right.
This, that, and the other. Listen, people, they can argue whatever the hell. You can argue anything if you want, but the reality is more evident now than it probably has been in 40 years.
Right.
And I think that's the major difference. Those of us who have experienced it, we know that it's always been around.
Always.
Right? But it's now getting national attention, where it's like, whoa, this thing is actually a bigger problem than we want to really. And what's crazy is that they will still deny it. You know, all these people that are like all these pro-Trump speaking out, I'm a real silent on this El Paso thing. So you know what they've did? They've shifted the narrative to saying, how are you blaming him for the shooting? And nobody's blaming him. They're saying he's complicit because of his actions and his words,
right?
Nobody's saying he did it. So they got everybody so focused. There was a movie I saw one time with a magician. And they were saying, basically, the secret to magic is that you got to get them looking at something else while you do whatever little BS you're going to do with
right.
the illusion.
Right.
And this is what they're doing. So now they got you looking at, because it was clear this guy in El Paso, right? With the garlic festival, we see how they're trying to tone it down, even though they were saying, we don't know his motive. But with this, there was a manifesto, and it was released online, and it was very clear and plain what he was saying. But they're trying to now make it about, Trump was not complicit in it. And now they're moving into other things, the economy, everything else that they're talking about. Now they're talking about the congresswomen that were banned, so that they don't address the elephant in the room.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's looking at other aspects of it, right? So it says, they hunt our steps, come on,
that we cannot go in our streets.
This is the modern day lynching. This is the modern day lynching. So that what? You're afraid to say, I'm going to go here, I'm going to go there.
Uh-huh.
People don't want to go to Walmart no more. People don't want to go shop over here, right? And if we have time, Lord's will, we're going to read some commentary for some of these Latino women, Latino men, how they're feeling now after this thing. Some of them are saying they don't even want to speak Spanish anymore in public. Because they're afraid somebody's going to come and, like, attack them, right? Come on, read.
Our end is near. Our days are fulfilled. For our end is come.
Right? It says our end is near, our days are meaning the prophecies are fulfilled. We're seeing what's unfolding in these last days. So understand that our end is near. And our end is not a bitter end, meaning this present life, this present world, when the Most High decides to send his son back, okay, That's going to be a beautiful end after the wailing and gnashing of teeth, because we know after that, we know when he come back this time, that's it. It's a wrap. But it's letting you know that, listen, don't be asleep, all right? These prophecies are being fulfilled. Come on.
Our persecutors are swifter than the eagle of the heavens.
Right, and we know there's a lot of symbolism there. It's talking about the eagles. It's telling you who the main persecutors are.
Uh-huh.
It says, and they're swifter than the eagles of heaven. As they come down and they do these things, right, it happens, it's done, they hold themselves not guilty, and what? They already move on to something else. Come on.
They pursued us upon the mountains. They laid wait for us in the wilderness.
Now, historically, we understand what happened here when the conquistadors came, how they dealt with our people. Okay, I'm focusing on the Latino, but because we know that this also happened to Judah, right, so-called blacks.
Right.
But Lamentations, for me, gives much more type of relatable information when it comes to Northern Kingdom, right?
Right.
So, come on, read.
The breath of our nostrils, the anointed of the Lord, was taken in their pits. A womb, we said, under his shadow we shall live among the heathen.
Right. This is the same thing where it says where we would draw waters, right? We would be rehearsing the righteous act.
Mm-hmm.
Under his shadow. Paul says in the New Testament, we see through a glass darkly, right? So it says, under his shadow we shall live among the heathen, meaning under the shadow of the Most High. The Most High has not left us, right?
Right.
He's there. He's here. He has this guidance here. He's bringing his teachers forth. Thine eyes shall see thine teachers in these days. He says, we will live under the Lord's shadow. Listen, the breath of our nostrils, the anointed of the Lord, it's dealing with these commandments that got to come back into us. And it says, under his shadow we shall live among the heathen. And we're living in those times now as we're bringing these understanding and these scriptures to life. Come on.
Rejoice and be glad, O daughter of Edom.
It says, listen, enjoy yourself now, O daughter of Edom, who is the white man. Come on.
That dwelleth in the land of Uz.
Come on.
The cup also shall pass through unto thee. Thou shalt be drunken and shalt make thyself naked.
Right. So the scripture says that we'll fill up the cup double for what the Most High is, for what they've done to us, what the Most High is going to do to them.
He
says, listen, this cup also is going to pass to thee. So rejoice and be glad now. It says, but you're going to get so drunk that you shall make thyself naked. Meaning what? That son of perdition will be revealed.
Revelation
of who this person is in these last days. That's why any other doctrine that comes out that tries to say the white man is not Esau, they don't know what the hell they're talking about. They're focusing on certain key scriptures and not the totality of how those scriptures together create the synergy of the understanding of who the Esau and Edom is today, right?
Right?
It says, they shall be drunken and they shall make themselves naked. So when I say that Trump enables them, they telling on themselves now because they feel so emblazoned and emboldened in how they do this stuff. Come on, read.
The punishment of thy iniquity is accomplished, O daughter of Zion. He will no more carry thee away into captivity.
He says, listen, when that day comes, when Christ returns, when the revelation of Edom comes, right, it says the punishment of our sin will be accomplished at that point.
Right.
Those days, those years, those thousands of years of our suffering, right, which was for our sin. I love how they word that because they let you know we are not blameless.
And
what's happened to us, right? It says, the punishment of thine iniquity is accomplished, O daughter of Zion. He will no more carry thee away into captivity. He was just talking about Esau,
right.
Edom. So who is he talking about? Edom. Come on.
And don't forget, Israel, it's still your fault.
Right. It's still your fault. Come on.
He will visit thy iniquity, O daughter of Edom.
And then he said, now he's going to visit your iniquity, daughter of Edom, letting you know that it was not just for that time.
Mm-hmm.
He's saying daughter of Edom, meaning the descendants of Esau. Come on.
He will discover thy sin.
He will discover thy sins. Going back to what you read where it says that man of sin, that son of perdition must be revealed.
Right. Those two scriptures go hand in hand.
Yep.
I have a little number next to where it says discover.
Mm-hmm.
Discover thy sins. And in the column it says, or carry thee captive for thy sins.
Yeah, mine says that. He will carry thee captive for thy sins. Let's get that in Revelation. He who leadeth into captivity. Bible explains this. People say that, this is you talking about that. This is your interpretation.
No,
scripture validates itself. Come on.
This is Revelation chapter 10, verse 13, right? He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity.
He said, he that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. Over here, it says what? That cup shall pass through unto thee, meaning the same thing you did will happen to us. And over here, where it said he will no more carry thee away into captivity,
mm-hmm.
he will visit thine iniquity, meaning the sins they did against Israel, O daughter of Edom. He will discover thy sins, meaning what? Carry thee captive for thy sins. So it says, he that leadeth into captivity, what?
He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity.
Come on.
He that killeth with the sword must be killed.
Must. It says must. It has to happen that way. It has to. Anything else on that?
Here is the patience and the faith of the saints.
It says, here is what we wait on.
Mm-hmm.
It says, this is our patience, understanding that the Lord is not unjust, that he will do this thing. This is why he says, the punishment of thine iniquity is accomplished, O daughter of Zion,
right.
O descendants of Zion.
It's telling you who the people that understand
mm-hmm.
are waiting on this. They know that this destruction is coming.
Right, right, right. And that's a righteous thing to wait on that.
Right.
Not that we want to sit there and those of us now in our present form and understanding have this desire to watch death and destruction.
Right.
We just want justice.
That's it.
That's it. We just want justice, because what comes behind is that justice is the turning of things right side up.
Right.
Because right now, they are not right side up. The scripture tells you it's turned upside down because of Edom and the way this whole world is set up. So let me jump back into this article real quick. All right. Let me see where we at on time. 24 minutes left. Okay. It says, the staggering violence in El Paso comes on the heels of another shooting at the end of July, talking about the Garlic Festival, right? Mm-hmm. 60% Latino. The cops again say that despite the fact that the shooting was done by a white man, that white supremacist texts made social media posts about hordes of mestizos being at the festival. They say his motives may never be known. We know what the motives are. Mestizo is a classification rooted in colonization from the Spanish caste system, typically used to refer to someone of mixed indigenous and European ancestry in Latin America. So you so-called Hispanics who feel like, oh, well, I got some European descendants in me, they still don't see you as anything on their level. This whole thing where we've tried to become acknowledged and accepted by our oppressor needs to stop, all right?
Mm-hmm.
It says, knowing this information is important to understanding the likely motivation the shooter had for violence. Violence against Mexicans in the United States is nothing new. Ever since the invasion of what is now Texas in 1836, because that's what it was, all right, it's been used as a tool by white Americans to fulfill what they believe was their destiny to expand the U.S. This is that manifest destiny. If you look this up, you'll see it. They felt that it was divine, and it was, but not in the way that they thought. They thought it was their blessing. Most High said, no, yes, I am going to give you this, right?
Right.
But only so that this other end can be accomplished,
right?
Which is our salvation. So it says, this invasion of Mexican territory by those set on keeping slavery alive sparked the Mexican-American War, which we spoke about a few weeks back, from 1846 to 1848. The war ended in 1848 with the signing of the Treaty of Guadalupe Hidalgo, when Mexico was forced to give up a vast amount of territory in what is now known as the U.S. Southwest. So
right.
Texas, New Mexico, Arizona, where we're at, parts of California, almost all of it, I think, maybe just a little bit north was native territory. And when I say native, meaning Indian, what we know as Indian, because obviously the Mexicans were native here. See how they got the vernacular that it screws us up?
It's another way to separate.
Right, like to say that Mexicans weren't native to here. You understand the way they do that? Yeah, yeah. So you got to understand that stuff. White supremacy and violence at the U.S.-Mexico border continued through the 19th century and into the 20th. Politicians and public figures often depicted Mexicans and indigenous peoples as criminals to justify the theft of land and resources. Same thing is happening today.
Mm-hmm.
Trump calls them rapists, criminals, thugs.
Right.
And some of them are. Some are. But no, not all that are coming over. And you know, I've spoken about this when I've spoken about Harvest of Empire. I've yet to really dissect that fully. And I mentioned how basically the whole premise of that book is for you to understand why they're leaving their countries to come here. And by and large, it has to do because of the United States meddling via the School of the Americas in those regions that created destabilization and the governments that you have today, the crime-ridden countries that you have today. It's the United States' fault. And their involvement in there has disrupted the economies, has disrupted what they could be, what they're so rich in resources. They can be world powers all on their own. And the United States policy of involvement, its foreign policy of being involved in that region, right? Like I said, under the what's they don't call it the School of the Americas anymore, but under the School of the Americas, largely destabilized that region. And this is why you have these mass migrations happening to come here, despite the sentiment that they know that they have here for them.
That's why they keep Americans occupied with all these different things like video games and and television shows, so that we don't research these things and find out the truth about what really is going on.
Well, speaking of research, since we were talking about lynchings, the next sentence here says, in the U.S., and this is what we went over back a few weeks ago, between 1848 and 1928, thousands of Mexicans were lynched, along with Native Americans. Now, they want to throw Italians and Chinese in there. That skews the numbers drastically, all right? Yeah, well, there's some people that have some sentiment against them, sure, all right? Chinese were given reparations. Japanese were given reparations.
Right.
Italians, they're just assimilated into the whole society. They don't get it's crafty the way they try to throw that in there. The distinction here is in the quantity and numbers that it happened, and how it impacted us as a people versus them. The Chinese are thriving in this country.
Right.
The Italians are thriving in this country.
Right.
So are the Irish. So all these other people that they try to say, they're immigrants too. No, they're treated. No, listen, the impact that it has on us and our communities is nothing compared to them. All right. Those were casualties of war. Those were just collateral damage
right.
in the
right.
things that they were doing. It says historian Monica Munoz Martinez has also documented the history of violence along the border, citing specifically the vigilante origins of the Texas Rangers. We went over this, founded in 1823 by Stephen F. Austin to police the border. In the words of the Refusing to Forget Project, of which Munoz Martinez is a member, a new, more brutal white supremacy had come to the border. New York Times reporter Simon Romero wrote in March about a massacre in Porvenir, Texas, where on January 28, 1918, the Texas Rangers, U.S. Army cavalry members and Anglo cattlemen took 15 men and boys from the town and lynched them before running the rest of the townspeople out and burning the town to the ground.
Wow.
That story is one of many the general public does not know about. We addressed it on this show. We did speak about that in the second part where we went over that stuff. Over 180 years after the Mexican-American War supposedly ended, some of us in the U.S. are watching in horror seeing this newer and more brutal white supremacy again. And this time it is not just at the border. In 21st century terms, the ghosts of that violence are visible in the rhetoric coming from our president with national consequences. During his campaign for president, Donald Trump called Mexicans drug dealers, criminals, and rapists. He called to build a wall and said Mexico will pay for the wall. This appealed to his supporters who joined him and his claims to want to make America great again. This is the platform he was elected from and very well may be reelected from as he kicked off his new campaign while thousands of immigrants from mainly Central America are locked up, separated from their families, and denied their right to claim asylum in the U.S. It's like a modern manifestation of the curses,
mm-hmm.
and people are acting like, no, it's just protecting our borders. We know who it's targeted against. He said it. He said, how come we can't get immigrants from these countries like Sweden or whatever? Rather than these shit countries, he called it.
He said, make America great again. And then he went after the Mexicans. The,
right.
the biggest thing he did was trying to build a wall. He said, make America great again. And his biggest deal, campaign, is to build a wall. Hello?
Mm-hmm.
You get that from us. We're going to have a wall, too, from the kingdom. The vernacular in the article is spiritual. Can I bring it up?
Okay. Go ahead, bro.
Deuteronomy 25, I want to start at verse 17. So in the last paragraph he was reading, there was somebody that started a movement that's called Refuse to Forget or something like that. And then it goes into white supremacy, and it happens over and over again. Their spirit is being revealed. Go ahead and read that.
Remember 25, verse 17?
Yes, sir.
Remember what Amalek did unto thee.
So it's not telling us to forget. That was saying on the article, it says refuse to forget. So remember what Amalek is one of the 12 princes, that grandsons that came out of Esau. He's a so-called white man, what we call the Israelis or the Jewish people today. Right?
Mm-hmm.
By the way, when ye were come forth out of Egypt.
So it says, remember what he did to us. Read verse 19.
Verse 19. Therefore it shall be, when the Lord thy God have given thee rest from all thy enemies round about, in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance to possess it, that thou shalt blot out the remembrance of Amalek.
So we're going to blot out the remembrance of Amalek. We're going to remember what he did to us. Read.
Remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. Thou shalt not forget it.
So read verse 18.
Verse 18.
Mm-hmm.
How he met thee by the way.
He's still referring to Amalek, the so-called white man, what he did to us when we came out of Egypt. The scripture is telling us to remember, not to forget it. Even in the kingdom, once the Most High has given us rest from all our enemies, we're still going to remember that, even after he has blotted out. Read.
And smote the hindmost of thee.
So the hindmost of thee, those are the weak, because of their policies, because of what the school of the Americans has trained their officers to do, set them up as puppet leaders in all these countries, and then our poor are coming. It's the hindermost of us. Read.
Even all that were feeble, my feeble behind thee.
So when we were coming out of Egypt, it was like the old and the sickly among us that were in the back. and they were throwing their darts and their arrows to kill the weakest. Now in modern times, it's talking about those immigrants, the poor, the ones that, yes, some of us are criminals because we are desperate to make a way, to find a way in the United States. Read.
When thou wast faint and weary, and he feared not God.
So he was our brother, but he lost a promise. That's why we're going to remember what he did. He's going to be blotted out. Yes, some of us are criminals. Yes, some of us are rapists, drug dealers. But guess what? Christ died for us. And that's why we have repentance in the land of the North, which is America. So we have our opportunity to repent. You so-called blacks, Hispanics, and Native Americans that are coming over here, you're coming here to repent.
All right. Okay. Real quick, go read 19 again. All right. Yeah.
Therefore it shall be when the Lord thy God have given thee rest from all thy enemies round about in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. All
right. So saying basically when we get the kingdom again, come on.
For inheritance to possess it, that thou shalt blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under the heaven.
Come on.
Thou shalt not forget it.
So I want to elaborate a little more on what the soldier was trying to say there. What's going to happen here, just to create a visual, is the same thing that they did to us in these last days. We're going to remember what they did to us. We're going to know that was the Edomite race that did all those things to us. But they will not have a history, a heritage. Nobody else will know that,
mm-hmm.
that once they were great rulers and all that stuff, and they were kings of the earth,
mm-hmm.
right? Just like they were confederate against us, and we became hidden ones, they're going to lose their heritage, their identity, all that stuff. Why? Because they're going to be forced to live by this, right? It tells you that in Isaiah, that they're going to come, the gates will be open, and they will be bringing their forces unto us. And anybody who don't, they will have drought on their lands. They will have ramifications behind that, right? So let me get Isaiah 14 and 16. Because this gives the proper understanding of what it means. Because it would sound confusing, right? They will be blotted out, but we will not forget. Israel will not forget. But they won't be a known and renowned race anymore. They won't have, just like we, it was a struggle for us to find our heritage, our history. You know, they go and they tell you, oh, I descend all the way back from here. We can't do that. Our history begins with our captivities, right? Until you get this Bible and you understand that our history is more than that, right? Isaiah 14 and 16, come on.
And also, Cap, their glory, all their glory comes from wickedness.
Right, exactly. Actually, start at 15.
Verse 15?
Mm-hmm.
Isaiah chapter 14, verse 15. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the size of the pit.
The hell is the condition, all right? The hell is what? Not being in rulership, that everything being turned right side up. Because prior to this, when you read these verses, it talks about how great, how he was seen as a bright star, right? They refer to him as Lucifer in the scriptures. And then it says, but yet all this, yet for all your accomplishments, yet for all this glory that you had in this present world, it says you shall be brought down to hell. You will be the tail and we will be the head versus the way it is now. And it says to the sides of the pit. Come on.
They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble? That did shake kingdom?
Those Israelites who will remember who they are, because nobody else is going to remember that they were anything, we're going to narrowly look upon them, like barely. And this is what part where in Deuteronomy where it says, we will forget it not. We're not going to forget their actions, right? And we're going to look at that and say, damn, is this... this groveling thing here, this thing was the thing that ruled the world at one time.
Right.
They were like, this is the one that made kingdoms shake? No.
But they
right?
done.
Right? And then that prophecy will fully be fulfilled when they are totally done away with. They will be blotted out. It says under heaven. So first it's going to be something where they're not remembered for their greatness anymore. And then it's going to be that they just not going to exist anymore.
Right.
All right? Okay. Let me go back to finish this article here. All right? So it says, in June, at Trump's re-election kickoff, he continued to spread anti-immigrant hate and spoke about how he believes Democrats are betraying middle-class life due to some advocating for immigrant rights. Does it sound familiar? It should by now, especially after this week. It takes knowing history to know when this all began. And that's the point in our aim in bringing this stuff out. And then we reference it biblically. But it is hard to notice history when school authorities ban books such as Occupied America by Gerardo Acuña for stating that the U.S. invaded Mexico when it in fact did. They banned this book from school. They don't want to teach you. This is their attempt. This is why they want you to forget. Never forget the Holocaust. Never forget 9/11.
Right.
Never forget all this other. Hey, they don't want you to ever forget the victims of the gay nightclub, right?
Right.
And again, not that we're promoting or advocating violence, but we know the life and death is in the Lord's hands, right?
The so-called Holocaust.
Right. But it says because it identifies and talks about how the U.S. invaded Mexico, they don't want this stuff in school. It's changing. It's going to be harder for our children, if not for us. This goes back to when we were reading Psalm 78, and I was giving the breakdown about what's so great a nation here when we were going to class over those few weeks. It says we must know it so that then we can teach it to our children so that they will never forget it.
Right.
Because if you count on the school system to give the – we were a fortunate generation – that we were able to pick up on this stuff. There will be a day when slavery and colonialism will not be taught in school. I guarantee you that.
And
that's where it's headed.
And
right,
you can
right.
see it on the streets when we go out and
yes,
mission.
People
when
are,
we ask people,
you ask these,
you know,
you ask these millennials,
right.
They don't know.
Well, as they're banning these books that have truth in them, talking about the history and what really happened, they're introducing new textbooks that slowly get rid of that verbiage to connect it. And it's the same thing they do.
Right, they'll call it a great migration instead of slavery.
Right.
And listen, in the process, they said it only takes about 100 years to totally alter and change a history. All right, and there's methods of iconoclasm that they do that with, which is destroying imagery and anything related to help you identify those things.
Mm-hmm.
And then just creating a new narrative. It's not that hard. It's not a conspiracy theory. It really is not that difficult for them to accomplish this, and they've done it for generations.
Kind of sounds like what they did with the Bible. They removed the
right.
necessary books that
right.
we needed to identify
right.
for insurrection against our oppressor, and then they slowly start introducing all these versions.
Hey, check this out.
Watered down the color scriptures.
So it says the school district argued that the books were merely confiscated, not banned. Schools in recent times have not only banned books, but entire programs, such as what happened with the ban on Mexican-American studies in the Tucson Unified School District.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Tucson.
And the overall ban on ethnic studies in Arizona that was ruled in court to be motivated by racial animus toward Mexican-Americans. They don't want that history taught out here. So this is why it's important that we bring these things out and we keep this stuff alive through the history of the scriptures. And ain't nobody that's going to come and gainsay us. People want to come and they want to try to debate it. Listen, we don't need to convince you. If it's those of our people that are spewing that rhetoric, you're twice dead. And if it's those of the other nations, this is not for you and you won't understand it anyway. So there is nothing that we can do to convince you and gain you, nor is there any value in that. The effort and time I waste on you, I could spend on one of ours,
right.
who maybe the Most High has ordained to open up and wake up his eyes. I don't need your validation.
Right.
This is why we will not speak to you. You can come to our camp spots. You can come to our doors. You will get silence. As an educator, I have learned through teaching history that it is simply not enough to remember. But we must start somewhere. Until we understand the history behind this war against Latinos and immigrants, we are doomed to repeat its darkness.
Mm-hmm.
There's a pretty heavy article, man. This sister was in the spirit here. She needs a flyer, man, because she did mention a little bit Italian, Chinese,
right.
but hers I like because she really didn't emphasize that. Notice she just threw it in there.
Yeah, she threw it in there, right.
Maybe her editors maybe wanted to throw it in. You know how that stuff goes.
Yeah, yeah,
her
right,
editors
yeah.
were like, well, no, you can't publish this
yeah,
like this.
Before it gets published, you got to add a little
you
bit.
You
got
to do this,
yeah.
you got to do that, or something like that, right?
A little bit, yeah.
I want to jump to this real quick because we only got 6 minutes left, but I want to read just a few excerpts from this. Maybe we'll continue this topic next week because I still got more stuff to go over. So maybe I'll just give a little teaser for next week and read some of this. It looks like you got something else you want to bring out, too.
No,
if you do, you can do it. You look like you're ready. So I'll read a little bit about this, and then we'll just kind of do closing thoughts on the show so that we're not cutting it, and we'll continue this topic next week. It says, why El Paso and other recent attacks in the U.S. are modern-day lynchings, right? So just to give you a little taste on the lynching piece. Carol Anderson was scanning Twitter recently when she saw something that brought back a chilling memory. Someone asked Latina women if they had changed the way they acted in public after a white man allegedly targeting Mexicans was arrested for running down 22 people in an El Paso Walmart. I don't like the word allegedly because he clearly wrote it and said that's what he was doing.
Right.
One woman said she no longer speaks Spanish when out alone, checks store exits, and now feels like a marked person when among whites. And you want to know something? That's a terrible way to live. But, man, Northern Kingdom needs that thing. All right? Give me that one in Hosea where it says gray hairs upon his head. And you know, if it's not, strangers have devoured his strength.
Oh, yeah.
This is the wake-up call for Northern Kingdom. All right? This is the wake-up call. You got idiots out there teaching that Northern Kingdom's not that. Northern Kingdom's all in Africa. Yes, some are.
This is the book of Hosea, chapter 7. You want me to start at 8 or 9?
Start at 8. You can start at 8.
This is the book of Hosea, chapter 7, and verse 8. Ephraim, he has mixed himself among the people.
Right, that's what you see. Why? Because starting from the Assyrian captivity going all the way through to today, Ephraim stayed in that madness. You know, the scripture talks about how Judah was treacherous and that even Israel, meaning Northern Kingdom, wasn't as bad.
Right.
Israel's sin was that we were simple. We were silly doves. It was ignorance going after simple lust,
right?
Judah kind of knew and would still deal treacherously, right? There's a whole bunch of stuff where the Most High is blasting Judah. But the main thing with Northern Kingdom is ignorance. And our Southern Kingdom brothers need to understand that. When you get that frustration, right?
Sure.
You want to talk about woke and woke. There's levels of woke and unwoke. And by and large, more Southern Kingdom, right, the so-called African Americans and such, will be more receptive initially to what you are saying. And that's spiritual as well, because historically they always kept themselves up on that stuff.
Right.
All right? Not to say that some weren't living as Gentiles back in that time. But by and large, we were the ones that, Northern Kingdom, were the most simple, right? The scripture tells you that. You're a silly dove. You're freaking simple. And this scripture tells you that. So we've mixed ourselves among the people. Come on.
Ephraim is a cake not turned.
Is a cake not turned, all right? Going into what? If you flip a cake and you cook one side and not the other, one's darker than the other, letting you know that because we were mixed among the people, because some people try to bring a different understanding of this, that's way too complicated, so you know it doesn't make no freaking sense. Is letting you know that we would look physically in a different range, right? That's why the scripture says, my heritage is a speckled bird. Come on.
Strangers have devoured his strength.
Strangers have devoured his strength. This is why this sister here, as terrible as it may sound, good, all praises. She needs that wake-up call. Strangers have devoured our strength. What? The strength is these scriptures. Us keeping these commandments in the faith of Christ. And we've lost that because just like we read in Lamentations 4, we've watched for a nation that cannot help us. We've given our strength. Lamentations 5 talks about we've given the hand to them, right?
Uh-huh.
We've drunken our water for wood, meaning we go ahead and we've given everything to them thinking that they would help us. Come on.
And he knoweth it not.
But here's the thing, we don't know it. You're learning now. You're going to get this. You're going to get this now. Come on.
Yay. Gray hairs are here and there.
It means that we will get old, we will grow old, that this would be going on for a long time. Come on.
Yet he knoweth not.
It means you grow old and gray and you won't realize the enemy that's right there within your gates, sleeping with the enemy right in front of your face. But yet you would mix your people and everything among. Is that it on those verses?
Yep.
All right. So it says, this sister says she now feels like a marked person when among whites. You should have always felt that way. The hate feels like a ball in my stomach and a rope around my neck, the woman said. For Anderson, the allusion to lynching wasn't just a metaphor. It was personal. She had an uncle who was almost lynched in the early 20th century for standing up to a white man in an Oklahoma store. She also is a historian who wrote about the lynching era in her book, White Rage. She says the white men who are driving a surge in white supremacist violence in places like El Paso today are sending the same message to non-white Americans that their counterparts did in the lynching era. You will never be safe wherever you go.
Oh, wait a minute. That's Carol Anderson.
Right.
Okay.
And it says they hunt our steps, like you read. It says you will never be safe wherever you go. They hunt our steps in our streets. That says this is the message that's trying to be sent. You will never be safe wherever you go. There's a lot more to this article. Like I said, we're not going to have time to review it today. It's outside the scope of the show. But that's just a little taste. We'll go over the rest of it next week. And Lord's will, I'm telling you, it's Northern Kingdom's time to get that little wake-up call, man. So
absolutely.
we got to be banging on that hard, man.
Absolutely.
You know? Any closing thoughts? Got about a minute left.
Know, just based on the emotions she was feeling, you know, saying how she, because of the you know, the emotions that she was going through when she was writing this article, it's all scriptural. It applies to the curses in Deuteronomy 28. You start at verse 15. We disobeyed God's commandment, so we are perpetually suffering these curses until we return to the Most High God. So that's all I got to say. We got to keep the commandments. You so-called blacks, Hispanics, and Native Americans, keep the commandments.
That's right. Keep the commandments and live.
And, you know, Esau does the research. They search out diligently. you know, so like the scripture says, they do the research on human behavior.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Donald Trump know exactly what to say.
Yep.
To get
well, and he has advisors that
right,
tell him, like,
exactly.
Hey, yeah, yeah. You know, he probably wants to say more, but they even control all that. They think,
right.
You know, people think he's like, oh, he don't listen to his advisors. Nah, man, he knows exactly what he's doing, man.
Yeah, this is how these people are going to behave. Mm-hmm. You know they're going to get emboldened.
Yep.
They knew that before mm-hmm. he came into office.
Yep. All praises. Anyway, that's the show for this week. Lord's Will will be on next week. We'll talk a little bit more about the modern-day lynchings and bring some light to this stuff with hate crimes, all right? And with that, we say shalom.
Shalom.
Shalom. Happy Sabbath.